Those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're here live in the studio today, so if you have a comment or a question or you just want to participate in some way, call 530-605-4567. 605-4567, area code 530. Okay, today we are going to talk about a topic that a lot of us think about, and I have a special guest here in the studio with me. Dr. Richard Malotki is here to throw in his two cents, which is always so valuable. Hi, Dr. M.
Good morning, Patty.
All right, we're going to talk about growing old is not for weenies. And I say it that way specifically because my mom, Elaine, who is an amazing woman, died a few years ago now. At 93 years old, she passed away. But that was her favorite phrase. She would say, growing old is not for weenies. And you know what? It's true. So the main reason I wanted to talk about this is because I hear a lot of fear in my office from friends and family. But a lot of my clients really have some trepidation, some worry, anxiety about growing old and what that's going to be like. And the angst hits them in a bunch of different ways. It hits them from a financial standpoint, from a health standpoint, an ability to run their lives, and a lot of other issues that come with this whole idea of getting older and how do we manage and how do we survive growing old, which is an interesting phrase if you think about it.
Literally.
Literally. How do we survive growing old? Wait a minute. All right. So in this first section of the show, I want to go over a few things that are important for you to think about when you're growing older. And then the second part of the show, Dr. Malotki is going to talk to us about the health and body and physical issues that he tells his patients all the time on how to survive growing old. So let's go over a few things right from the beginning of that we need to think about. And let's also take growing old is relative. I don't mean that 85 or 90. You should be thinking about growing older at 40 plus. There are things that you should be doing by the time you reach 40 and continuing to get done till you reach 50. And then hopefully they're kind of all in place and in line and you don't have to do much more until you're 60 or 65. But a lot of people would rather just not think about it. They say, it'll be fine, whatever. I might die before then anyway. But these are the things that we should think about. It's really important to be organized. Now, this is no matter how old you are. If you have your life insurance papers, your insurance, your identifying things, the deed to the house, all that kind of stuff in one place, like, for example, a binder that has them all in there in plastic sleeves, and the binder's in your safe, so that if something happens to you, your family knows where to get, like, that you have a safe deposit box that they might not know about. An extra key is in there in that folder, and where the safe deposit box is and what the number. The kind of things that your family will thank you for if you have your documents all organized in one spot and safely stored. The other thing is making a will or a trust. People think they don't need that when they're 40 or 50, but you never know when lightning's going to strike. So making a will or a trust is how you save your family from that post-death drama. In fact, I did a podcast called Family Feuding After Death, and it's powerful because a lot of families are torn to shreds by just that. Another thing is your death plans and payment. Making your funeral arrangements, writing down the basics of what you want, going to the local funeral home and paying for it, having it all laid out, and then putting those papers in that binder I'm talking about. My parents joined Neptune Society in the 1960s. They ended up paying, I think it was $200 for the two of them to be on Neptune Society. And when each of them passed, all it took was a phone call that I had to make, and Neptune Society came and picked up the remains and cremated them and got the cremation remains back to me. And I didn't have to do anything but make a phone call. That was a huge blessing. So death plans and paying for it. Doing a living will. Doing a living will is what you do to take care of yourself if you're incapacitated but you're alive. For example, having a stroke, or you just have some cognitive difficulties and you can't take care of your financial needs. Also, thinking very carefully about who should be your power of attorney and getting those papers in line. And it's important that you really trust that power of attorney to make medical and financial decisions for you if you become incapacitated. So not only think very carefully about that, clear it with the person that you want to be your power of attorney, and then get those papers drawn up so that it's in your safe. Again, if something happens to you, you've already designated somebody to take care of you. Preparing financially. Many people do not pay into retirement, or they keep borrowing against their retirement accounts. They keep spending it before they can save it till they're older. You also have to think about what you're going to do. I see this a lot in my practice. People are afraid to retire. They're afraid to give up their work identity because it's such a strong part of who they are. And they don't have any other interests or hobbies or things that keep them busy. So they get very fearful of retiring. They picture they're going to sit in the reclining chair watching TV all day, rotting away. And some of them do. Those are the people that tend to end up dying within a year of retirement because they have not created a life that brings passion to them. So thinking about what you're going to do. Also, getting your house in order for an older person. I really think by the time people are about 65, they need to be thinking about the house they're living in. Is it too big? Does it have a lot of stairs? Is it inaccessible if you have a knee replacement, if you have a stroke and have to walk with a cane or a walker? So thinking about your home, and if you downsize, keeping in mind that you want it to be a home that you can manage as an older person. It will, because, you know, moving at 60 or 65 is a heck of a lot easier than trying to move houses at 80 or 85. So it's important that you do it early. Also, making friends, having activities and friendships that are not your own children and your own grandchildren. Many older folks only wrap themselves up in their families, and then when the families don't come calling, either physically or on the phone, they feel lost and lonely and left out. So trying to create a life that isn't just based on your own children and your own grandkids. Those can be an excellent part of your life, of course, a very important part of mine. But you also want other friends and other activities. So those are some of the basics. And any one of those you need to really be taking a look at. The biggest problem I see is that people don't want to think about it. They don't want to plan for it. It makes them frightened. And they wish they could just avoid it and it'll take care of itself. That's how you end up being lost, lonely, and afraid. Fire truck. Godspeed on your errand of mercy. We have to say that. And so they're lost and alone and afraid because they have not made the plans for themselves as an elderly person. So we're going to go to break in a minute. And when we come back, Dr. Richard Mulaki, who's a general practitioner, he's also been a surgeon. I mean, he's an incredible doctor, and he's got a private practice he's had for 34 years. And he gives incredible advice. So he's going to talk to us about the physical and health aspects of growing older and how we can do that in a really good way. We're going to break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Our elderly, they're not just people that are older. They're grandmothers that share their secret recipes. The grandpa that tells heartfelt stories of a much more simpler time. They're our living link to the past and a vital part of our future. While most are cherished, sadly, many are abused. Shining Care is providing an opportunity for our community to promote a better understanding of abuse and neglect of older persons by raising awareness and providing invaluable information during the free webinar on June 26th, 11 a.m. to 1:30, featuring world-renowned keynote speaker Paul Greenwood and an interactive panel of local experts and officials. Topics including tips on elder abuse prevention for people of all ages, how to reduce the risk of elder abuse culled from his extensive criminal prosecution of felony elder abuse, neglect, and exploitation, plus info on COVID-19 scams, self-isolation with an older adult loved one, and the pent-up frustrations, and much more. Registration at shiningcare.org/events or 232-5543. Sponsored by PS2 Agency on Aging, Ombudsman, Cornerstone Community Bank, My Umbrella Marketing, and Marquis Shasta.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, Dr. Patricia Bay, and I'm here with Dr. Richard Malachi. You are listening to the beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis. He allows us to use his music on our show, and we just love it. You can go to randymcginnis.com and check out his 6 CDs. He's an award-winning Native American flutist, and he's the Lifetime Achievement Award for Native American Flute for 2020, and won Native American Flutist of the Year a number of times. He's just amazing. Okay, so we're here with Dr. Richard Malachi, and we're talking about how growing old is not for weenies. We're live in the studio, both Dr. Malachi and myself, and if you want to call in and ask a question or make a comment, area code 530-605-4567. Okay, Dr. Malachi, tell us what you deal with your patients, and what is your formula for growing old and not being a weenie?
Thank you, Dr. Patty. Well, so I'm a family doctor, and most of what I do is talk to people about how to get old gracefully and be healthy and happy as you do it. And I have a kind of a canned speech, of course, about the patients that I've treated over the 35 years that are, I like to call them my, and my heroes are people who are over 85 and who still are having a great time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
what do they do that makes them your heroes?
Well, they usually all arrive at this point by different paths, but all of them share three traits. They're all strong, they're all light, and they're all flexible. And people say, well, 85, I thought you're kind of stooped over with the cane. You sure don't have to be. Yeah, strong, light, and flexible keeps you out of the doctor's office. And that's, you know, bad for me, but good for you. So, yeah, you don't want to hang around
people. You can
just
come to me for your emotional issues,
yeah.
But you can be strong, light, and flexible.
Yeah, don't hang around people like me.
So explain what you mean by those three things. Give us a more detailed description.
10-4. So a lot of us, I like to usually draw the line at about age 40. Sometimes if you're, you know, real athletic and active and healthy up until age 40, you can get away with really not doing much or not working at it. But most of us after age 40, you have to make some efforts to end up being 85 and strong. Strong means that, you know, you're physically able to do things, like you're able to do things around the house. You know, you can do your gardening by yourself. You can do, your shopping by yourself. Well, physically strong.
Can you open a jar?
Yeah. Well, sometimes you need one of those little things. You know?
A little squeeze,
yeah.
But you know what I've learned is that hand strength for opening things is not just about your hands, it's about your forearm strength.
Oh, yeah, and really your whole, you kind of want your whole body strong.
Yeah.
In fact, the little speech about strength is, if you think about, I like to think about your joints, all of our joints are like bearings.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And just like in a car, if the bearings are lined up perfectly, they wear less. In fact, if they lined up really perfectly, they don't wear at all. And one of my orthopedic instructors said everyone gets arthritis if they live long enough. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they don't get arthritis till they're 90.
Wow.
Because the muscles and ligaments around that bearing are strong. So how we get arthritis is when muscles and ligaments around the bearing get weaker, and then that introduces some slop. And it's not a technical term, but it introduces slop in the bearing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that starts to wear your cartilage surfaces quicker, and it's an accelerated problem.
Yeah, slop is more of a mechanical term, but it certainly fits for your knee joints.
Yeah, oh, all, especially weight-bearing joints, but really all your joints, shoulders. You know, we tend to lose that strength around the joint. Then we start to get pain. Then we have less strength because we don't want to move it because it hurts. And it's kind of a vicious cycle downward.
Yeah, downward spiral.
Yeah. And the light part is kind of self-explanatory, but, you know, if you go to the mall today, I mean, 40% of adult Americans are huge.
Yes.
And topically, like right now, that's one of the biggest risk factors for this bad outcomes from this COVID-19 virus. Is if you're overweight, your immune system doesn't work as well.
Right, because if you're overweight, you don't move as much. You're probably not eating as healthy.
Yeah, and I got COVID-19 right below my waist right now, you know, but just sitting around with this stupid quarantine. But as we age, we need fewer calories, and we often burn fewer calories because we tend to become more sedentary. And the next thing you know, you're 30 pounds overweight.
So when you say lean, are not overweight. Are you talking about a perfect weight, ideal weight?
Well, no. So
I mean, ideally that would be
all
great.
All the young doctors now, and you know, I know what it is, but everyone uses this thing called a BMI.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's really that as useful as it's made out to be, because people's bone structures are different. Mm-hmm. Some people have more muscle, less muscle. But I was taught a long time ago, because that's when I started, that if a person is healthy when they graduate from high school, take your high school graduation weight and add about 20 pounds to it.
Mm-hmm.
That is probably your healthy adult weight. So, and it's a pretty reliable ruler to go by. And
so that's what you want to strive for.
Yeah, that's what your target is. And each pound you add over that is an extra stress on your heart, extra stress on your kidneys, extra stress on your pancreas, extra stress on everything.
And your joints.
Oh, yeah. And the worse, it's one of those things where the worse it gets, the worse it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And then so that's, you know, sort of self-explanatory. It's one of the most difficult things to do. Like, I ask people to do hard things every day at work, so I'll ask them to quit smoking. That's pretty darn hard to do. But asking someone to lose weight and keep their weight at that target weight it's really tough. You have to work at it after mm-hmm. age 40. And
I deal a lot with morbidly obese people. I've done gastric bypass evaluations, things like that.
Right.
One of the things I ask them is, how many morbidly obese 60-year-olds do you see?
Yeah,
none. Hardly any.
Yeah.
Someone that's 100 pounds overweight, you see very few of them. In fact, I hardly ever see any.
No, they don't make it to age 70.
Yeah.
They just don't.
So if you want to have a good quality of life and live longer, not being morbidly obese, like huge, is really important. But what you're saying is, even if we can get our weight down to where we're not carrying extra weight, especially around the midriff,
right?
We're going to ease our joints, and we're going to increase our
health. And you won't get tired out at 3 in the afternoon. You know, the analogy which is useful is, you know, if I got a 30-pound backpack on in the morning, I feel pretty good. But mm-hmm. by lunchtime, when I take it off, I don't want to put it back on.
Right.
You know, and 30 pounds, lots of people are 30 pounds overweight.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's so easy to do.
Yes. And then the last one, the flexible one, people say, well, geez, what does that mean? Most of us, as we age, because we're more sedentary and because we get weaker and have pain, most people will start to have their joints, I like to say, shrink wrap. Your joints will shrink wrap on you, especially shoulders, but, you know, hips and knees will do it too. Your little joints in your fingers will do it. And they get tighter and tighter because of the vicious cycle of weakness and less mobility and pain. So there's a little sac around all of our joints. It's called the synovial sac, and most people have heard of that. There's a little bit of lubricating fluid in that sac. And that's what reduces friction as the joint moves. when you have pain and you move less, then the synovial sac tends to tighten down. And lots of times, you know, that's especially true in shoulders. You get an 85-year-old, and they literally can't lift their elbow away from their body. They have what's called a frozen shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's, you know, it was a really interesting thing some Brazilian cardiologist did quite a few years ago. He did a study on predicting longevity and predicting life. And he paid a bunch of nurses to take people in. All they did, they had a yoga mat on the floor in an empty room. And the nurse asked them to sit down and stand up.
On the floor?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sit down on the floor and stand up. And the people that were able to sit down and stand up without using their hands or, you know, they basically don't die. You know, they just don't die. But the people that needed to kneel first and then sit and then to sit back up, and they had to sit back up, stand up, put both hands on the floor, those people don't live. And I mean, it's kind of awful.
Your chicken's up, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It was actually, he did it with thousands and thousands of people, and he found that it had predictive value for how long you were going to live.
Well, it's interesting because so many people talk about, I can't get up off the floor.
Oh, and
And they're not 80.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Strong, light, flexible.
So the flexibility is having the muscle strength and the ability to do something like get up off the floor.
Yeah.
So you're obviously describing yoga.
Well, yeah, so yoga
is one of the best things.
Oh, it's one of the best ways. Pilates really works. Yeah, and I, you know, I'm old and have a bad back, so I go to yoga. And one of the people in my class is in her 80s, and when she walks across the parking lot, she looks like she's skipping rope.
Oh yeah, it's the vibrancy.
Oh yeah, unbelievable.
My next door neighbor is 87, I think it is. She is, and she walks with such vibrancy. She walks. You see her walking down the mailbox and
spring in her step,
and the other thing is, how easily can you walk and turn around?
Oh.
You watch an elderly person walk, and they kind of shuffle back around.
Right.
If they have vibrancy in their step, which comes from strong muscles,
yes,
and confidence in your body that you can move, you go, oh, I forgot that thing in the kitchen, and you flip around and walk back to the kitchen.
Exactly.
Like a 20-year-old. That's flexibility and strength.
Yeah, and when I – those are – well, they're my heroes,
mm-hmm.
especially now that I'm getting old. So, you know, it's like I want to be like that. But yeah, so and the trouble is it takes more work. The older you get, the harder you have to work at it. So, you know, it's and there's a million ways to get there. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can get there, and you don't have to go to a yoga class. There's chair yoga on YouTube.
Yes.
You know, there's all these videos that if you have a weight bearing joint problem, you can sit in a chair and still stretch out.
Mm-hmm.
Physical therapists are really good at helping folks with that after injuries. That's a common problem. But you're not going to build Rome in a day, especially if I'm 64. If you know, after I had my back surgeries, it was like, holy cow, I was walking like an 85-year-old. And now I'm walking like a 75-year-old.
You are not.
But,
you're so funny.
Well, no, but I feel so much better because I'm shooting for that strong, light, flexible goal.
Yeah, and you know what? When you can have that kind of mantra in your head, I think that really helps. All right, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I want Dr. Malotki to expand on this a little bit. And then I'm also, it's given me an idea. One of the show I'm going to do in the near future is, what are the lifestyle changes that you need to do to lose weight? Because out of light, fit, and flexible, that's the hardest one, is losing weight.
Yeah.
You can go to yoga. You can work on your flexibility and your strength. Losing weight is actually way harder than people realize, so we need to do a whole show on that one. Okay, we're going to go to break, and we're going to continue with Dr. Malotki when we come back.
Working from home? Conference calls?
You're still on mute, John.
With everything we have going on right now, it's never been more important to get the sleep we need. Quality Sleep is a natural immune booster, and only the Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts your comfort and support on both sides, your Sleep Number setting. So, all those other things we're doing to stay healthy and happy, well, they'll work better too. And now, during the lowest prices of the season, the Queen Sleep Number 360 C4 smart bed is only $12.99. Save $400, only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and I'm here with Dr. Richard Malotki. And we are talking about growing old is not for weenies. I've got to share this with you. These are some quotes from people that I know. When I said, okay, when I say growing old is not for weenies, what is the first thing you think of? So Norm said to me, all the things you have to survive to get to be old, which I think is profound. Faye said to me, one of the things that's hardest about growing old and realizing that you don't want to be a weenie is, she said, being treated like an old fart. I just thought that was hysterical. And then she said there are a lot of good things about growing old, too. And she's just a positive, loving person. Then someone else said, when your pains start hurting. So when it's harder to get out of bed, and somebody else chimed in, no, when it's harder to stay in bed.
Yeah, pain squared.
Pain squared. There you go. And another one said, when you outlive your friends and family. So you're getting older and your siblings die, your parents, your grandparents, and then sometimes you lose adult children because they're in their 60s or 70s and you're getting older. And this is the one that I just loved. When you get up and go, got up and went, and didn't leave a forwarding address. That could have been the title of this show.
Yes.
I think it's funny. But we're talking about, Dr. Malotki was sharing with us in the second part of the show, that what he tells all his patients is he wants you to be fit, as in a good weight, not more than 20 pounds over your high school weight is roughly what you're shooting for. He wants you to be flexible. In other words, you can get down on the floor and you can get back up. That would be one level of that. And then better than what you are now would be an improvement. And the other one was strong.
Yes.
Be able to open a jar or
carry your groceries in.
Carry your groceries in. Carry your purse around. People lift my purse up and go, whoa. Chiropractor lifted it once and said, we need to talk. All right. So Dr. Malotki, can you tell us more about the strong and the flexible part? We're going to do a whole show on the fit part because that really is the hardest to do, is to lose weight and do it in a way that you get more fit and you're not forcing weight off in an unhealthy way. And then if you lose it properly, you can keep it off better. So we'll work on that on a whole show. But talk to us about strong and flexible.
Well, yeah, so strong, start talking with folks about this and they'll say, well, oh, I have to go to a gym. Well, you don't have to go to a gym. You can use your own body weight to get your body stronger. And, for instance, just holding the top of a push-up, that's called a plank in yoga. That is pretty hard to do.
And you can do that leaning against a counter.
Yes,
you don't have to be absolutely flat.
And you can start out by putting your knees down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a million modifications that will. Well, my yoga instructor says yoga meets you where you are, which where I was is in the seventh circle of Hades when I started. but she's really helped me. But I have to stay with it. And I didn't build Rome in a day. I didn't really start getting better until I'd gone there for 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
So you can't get discouraged. You just have to realize that your body will remodel itself according to, you know, what you do.
It's also perfectly good to do chair yoga.
Oh, yeah.
My sister-in-law, Claire Bay Manor, is a yoga instructor, Deepak Chopra trained, and a personal trainer, and she has been for 30 years. She's amazing with people that are older, and her chair yoga class is way harder than you think, but it meets you where you are.
Right.
And you don't have to get down on the floor.
Yeah, so just being able to do simple things, you don't have to do yoga. You could do sit-ups and push-ups and pull-ups. You know, put a pull-up bar in a doorway.
Mm-hmm.
And the basic kind of stretching. One of my patients, he's fun. He's in his mid-80s, and he does the Royal Canadian Mounted Police exercises every morning.
That's great.
Oh, yeah, he jumps out.
That's probably why he's strong.
Well, he's awesome, and he jumps out of bed every morning. His wife gives him a hard time, and he goes through his little routine, and I mean, I see them once a year just because we make them come in.
Well, one of the things I think is helpful for people that are starting out is practicing getting in and out of a chair. And you don't just get out of a chair using your knees. You get out of chairs by pulling through your glutes.
Yeah.
And like thrusting your hips forward.
And using your core, too.
Exactly. That uses your core and your glutes, which are much easier on you than your knees.
Yeah.
But there are ways that you can be working on your flexibility, even 10 or 15 minutes a day. And your strength.
Yes. And you can do some stretches laying in bed.
Sure.
Which isn't that's a pretty good way to go.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so much available on YouTube now. You can Google it on YouTube, or you can just type in a search on YouTube and ask for beginning flexibility exercises or flexibility for seniors or something. Get started somewhere. The key is to do it.
Yeah. You just have to make up your mind that it's going to be worth it. Mm-hmm. And, having seen all these heroes over the years, I can tell you it's definitely worth it.
Yeah.
I got a 94-year-old lady, a patient down in Cottonwood. She takes care of 5 acres.
Yeah.
And she's totally alert and, you know, she drives herself. She's a good driver.
Yeah.
You know, she's
not a challenge.
No, she's awesome.
That's interesting because so many elderly people wait until somebody tells them they can't drive anymore and then they get mad.
Oh, yeah.
And, Rich was one of the only people I've ever known of who took his own driver's license away. He said, I should not be driving because of his cognitive issues. I remember taking my mom's driver's license away, and she was not happy with me.
Well, it's a big problem. I talk to the family probably once a week about that subject.
Yeah.
But,
and you can ask DMV to call them in and test them, too.
That's my normal.
But let's go to the cognitive issues, because one of the things I hear a lot of people fearful about is mental decline, not just the physical decline. Like when I look at how I helped my mom with my dad with Alzheimer's for 10 years, and then there was an overlap of the last 2 years there where Rich was getting frontal temporal degeneration as my dad was dying from Alzheimer's. And so the cognitive issues from a personal standpoint makes me go, it's really scary. So speak to that for a minute. How can we stay brain fit?
Well, okay, it's an excellent question. It comes up a lot for me at work. So one of my instructors years ago, he used to say that Alzheimer's was a dusty brain.
Mm-hmm.
Or he would even say, television causes Alzheimer's. But, and it's not really true, of course. But the active mind is less likely to suffer decline.
Mm-hmm.
So things like, you know, after age 65, things like trying to take up a second language, challenging your mind that way, trying to learn to play a musical instrument.
Yeah, doing Sudoku.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, all that stuff, crossword puzzles. Those things that aren't, like, television is passive entertainment. You're just sitting there and it's coming in. But making your mind work, I mean, when I was in school all those years ago, we were taught that you're born with a certain number of brain cells, neurons, and you don't get any more. And now, years ago, we found out that's completely wrong.
Right.
Yeah, so we add thousands of brain cells every day into our brain, and the way it works in the brain, since it's a closed space, limited volume, your brain cell, the new brain cell, either has to be given a job within about 10 days. It's mm-hmm. called recruitment.
Yeah.
It has to be recruited to do a job, or it kills itself. It's called apoptosis, is the Latin.
It dies out.
Yes, it dies.
It's lonely and dies out.
Well, you have to give it a job. Mm-hmm. So if you are doing new things all the time, you're going to give those new brain cells a job. And then as your old, you know, brains and dementia patients shrink.
Yes, they atrophy.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
One of the things I tell my clients, and I usually from about 40 on, I tell them we should all be doing one of the FitBrain apps on our phones. Everybody's got these smartphones these days. And there are a bunch of free apps that exercise your brain, especially if you've had a stroke or you've been ill with the flu or you've had even COVID or something like that. If you've had something that's taken you down physically and mentally, doing one of these brain exercises exercises the parts of your brain and lets you see where you're weak, like long-term and short-term memory, hand-eye coordination, word finding, you know, all these different parts of your brain that you want to be in fit condition.
Yeah, and then you can focus your attention on the ones that aren't quite up to snuff.
Right. Like FitBrain, I think, is a good app. It's free. You can pay the $10 a year or whatever it is to have no commercials if you want.
Yeah, there's Lumosity is a pretty good
one. Yeah, Lumosity. And if you do it 10 or 15 minutes a day, do it while you're sitting in the car waiting for someone to come out of the store, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, downtime.
And it, exercising your brain, just like you need to exercise your butt muscles to help you stand up.
Yeah, and the other thing that I like to emphasize is, which it's sort of self-evident, but when you exercise, and after age 40, you don't really have to do more exercise than just walking. I'm talking about aerobic stuff. You know, brisk walking is enough. When you exercise, it doesn't just help your heart. What it helps is everything, because all nutrients come to our cells through the bloodstream, and all toxins leave our cells through the bloodstream. So when you exercise, you have more blood flow to your brain. Well, that's good for the brain.
Yeah.
You have better blood flow for your kidneys, for your liver, for your pancreas, for your lungs. It isn't just about your heart.
Right. It's an overall health thing.
Yeah, and cavemen didn't sit around watching TV. You know, they were trying to chase down the squirrel. We're made to move.
Right. Right. And we, if you don't use it, you can lose it.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, different ways.
That's about why aging is not for sissies.
Yeah, exactly. It's not. It's a scary thing. So think about what it is that you fear most about getting old. I'm talking to our listeners here. When you think, oh, I don't want to be alone and afraid, or I don't want to be broke and not and just live on Social Security alone. I don't want to lose it cognitively. I don't want to have Alzheimer's or some kind of dementia sort of issues. Take the thing that you fear the most and make a plan for two or three things that you could be doing to straighten that out. So what I'm going to do here is test Dr. Malachi for a couple minutes. So Dr. Malachi, I'm your patient, and I come in and I say, God, you know, my knees hurt all the time now, and I'm afraid of getting older and needing knee transplants. Tell me what you'd tell me to do.
Well, it depends on what's wrong. I would first examine your knees and see if I could figure out what was wrong with them. A common thing for our age is to have a meniscus tear or to have some arthritis. Most of the time, depending on, you know, whether you have fluid in your knee or what exactly the problem is, a lot of times we take an x-ray.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have early arthritic changes in there and your quad tone is like mush and you're carrying 30 extra pounds, that's what you got to do.
So you would say, look, it's really important you get your quads in good shape. Now, the quads, if you put your hands down on your thighs, those
it's
are your quads.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the top of your thighs. The back of your thighs is called your hamstrings. So you would be talking about getting your leg strength up.
Yeah, and the hamstrings count too, but the quads are what goes through the kneecap and helps everything stay a little, like what I was talking about before, a little more keeping the bearing lined up.
Right.
So, yeah, and that weight-bearing joint pain, super common thing.
Okay, so another patient comes in and says, oh, Dr. Malachi, my dad died with Alzheimer's. I'm so afraid. I might have the gene for it. I'm afraid I might get it. What do you suggest?
Well, I try to give them the strong, light, flexible speech.
Okay.
Because people that move and challenge their brain, like what we were just talking about, they have a lot less likelihood of getting dementia. And you can't just sit and wait and hope that your genes don't take you down that road.
You have to be proactive.
Yes. And it takes effort, and the older we get, the more effort it takes, and that's why I see a lot of dementia patients.
Well, and when I look at my own personal history, my dad having Alzheimer's, I have to remember my dad was a smoker for a very long time.
And that's a huge risk factor.
He quit cold turkey when he was like 50 or 45. He just stopped, which was like my dad. He had willpower.
Right.
And he used to drink too much. So I don't smoke, and I don't drink too much, and that I'm lessening my chances of getting Alzheimer's
my
dad.
Lowering is the dramatic proactive thing that you can do.
So the cool thing is we don't have to be a slave to what we view as our fate.
No.
We can be proactive. And proactive doesn't mean you become a gym junkie. You don't do yoga five times a week. You don't become a yoga instructor. You just start to do and stop sitting doing nothing. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to sum up some of these things. I want you to have a pen and paper, and I want you to make your own personal plan of at least three things you're going to begin to do to get fit, to get flexible, and to get lean. We'll be right back.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222. SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
These are unprecedented times, challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, Dr. Patricia Bay, and I'm here with Dr. Richard Malachy, and we're talking about growing old is not for weenies, or as Dr. Malachy says, growing old is not for sissies. It's hard. That's what we're talking about. And scary sometimes. So I was asking Dr. Malachy, if I was your patient and I was saying, these are the things I'm worried about, what's the advice that you would give? And I would think a real common thing that he hears is that his patient walks in and says, oh, you know, it just hurts to get out of bed. My shoulders hurt. My knees hurt. My neck hurts. I'm just achy all over. I've got arthritis in my fingers. Well, something, you know, as you're getting older, it's almost expected that you're going to have all these aches and pains. So, Dr. Malachy, I'm your patient, and I'm telling you, ugh, everything's painful. What can you do for me?
Well, especially if you haven't done much since age 40 and you're not strong or light or flexible, that's not a goal that you can just, you know, decide to change and accomplish in 1 week. So, most of the time, with weight-bearing joint problems or with low back pain is super common. Any kind of spine pain, even neck pain, My usual advice is to try to get them in the water, because you can't really exercise if you have a real bad knee or a bad hip or bad low back. If you go out and walk 4 miles a day, you're going to make it worse, especially if you walk on asphalt. So on the other hand, if you walk in chest-deep water in a pool, you can do that all day long.
And you can move your muscles.
Yeah, yeah. So you can become strong, light, and flexible doing water aerobics, and you don't have to take a class, but the Y has a good class, Sun Oaks has a good class.
You can put your iPad by your pool
And
turn on water aerobics on YouTube, or go to your friend's pool, or go to the lake.
Yeah, years ago, one of my patients, he started going up to Oak Bonnet Marina, and he had his cordless, his Bluetooth headphone on, and he would just walk back and forth. In the water. 45 minutes, yeah. Chest deep water. And, it took over a year and I think it took 16 months, but he lost 40 pounds and his back pain went away.
That's great.
Yeah, it was a real success story. So water aerobics is a really good way to do it. Getting a personal trainer, if you can afford to do that. Those folks are made to help you and not prevent you from hurting yourself.
Right. Help you go from where you are, too.
Yeah, but, if I had a magic wand, I'd be retired.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, we don't have a quick fix for any of those things.
Well, and what do you do with the people that come in and say, Dr. Malachi, give me something for the pain? Because what I find is people want a pill. Give me a pill to make me not depressed. Give me a pill to make me not grieving.
And we're a pill culture. So, yeah, so plain Tylenol, depending on the source of pain, plain Tylenol is probably the safest and best pain reliever we've got. The military uses it like crazy. But, and it's not addictive and it doesn't bother your stomach. The trouble with plain Tylenol, it's not anti-inflammatory. So if the source of your pain is because of inflammation, and that's common, then usually it's better to use an anti-inflammatory. And Aleve used to be prescription. That molecule was always prescription. So ibuprofen works but for a lot of people, but it only lasts 4 hours.
Aleve lasts 12 hours.
Yeah, Aleve is a 12-hour drug. And if you take it and don't get stomach problems from it, and if you're taking it every day, you should get your blood pressure checked 6 or 8 weeks later, because a small percentage of people will get high blood pressure from taking Well, those drugs are called NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So, those
things
work.
Let me ask you an important question about this, and I don't want to embarrass any listeners, but I have heard in my office several times from men that taking Aleve or non-steroidal anti-inflammatories can lead to erectile dysfunction. Do you see that? Or is that just kind of a
I think that's kind of an old wives' tale.
Okay, good.
The biggest side effect of NSAIDs is having problems with your stomach. I mean, it can give you an ulcer. So we don't want that.
Should you take it with food then if you're going to take Aleve?
Sometimes patients will say that feel better when they take it with food, but those drugs are called COX-1 and COX-2 inhibitors. COX is cyclooxygenase enzyme, which we don't have to describe. What happens is they're prostaglandin inhibitors, and they can make your stomach more vulnerable to stomach acid. So, yeah, you don't want to get an ulcer from taking...
Is it okay to take them with food or take them
with
breakfast?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it'll reduce absorption a little bit. But
it won't hurt your stomach.
Yeah, well, no. See, the stomach thing is not because of contact of the pill with your stomach.
Okay.
It's because of what it does in your bloodstream.
So it's going to get in there one way.
Yeah,
or
yeah, yeah.
Okay. So taking it with food or not isn't necessarily...
No, it's
only
not
if it
a protective.
Upsets your stomach, would it help?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that's important. I realize that people go into the doctor and they've got pain in their back. And a long time ago, not even that long ago, their opiates and things like that were prescribed, which got people addicted, which
right.
has been really hard. And there's a whole lot of side effects that go with the
those drugs are kind of a slippery slope. It's really hard, relatively hard for us to even write prescriptions for those at this point, partly because of all the overdose deaths,
yeah.
and there's a huge liability. A lot of doctors won't even write a prescription for opiates anymore.
Right.
And when I was working for the hospice, we used a lot of them, but most people were all dying, so we didn't worry about addiction or anything
right.
like that. So, yeah, it's sometimes the best thing to think about opiates is for short-term pain control.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best application. And if you get a total knee, hurts like crazy for the first couple of days, yeah, you might need those drugs.
Right.
So.
Let me ask you another question. I recently had a friend of mine who's about to turn 80 and said everything was hurting and struggling to get out of bed. And that's come on him in about the last 5-6 years. And he's fit.
Mm-hmm.
He's light. He's flexible. And he's vibrant when he walks. He doesn't
right.
look like an old guy. His doctor put him on Celebrex
yeah.
for arthritis. And he said within 3 days he felt like he was 50 again. He
yeah,
said he
my
felt
dad,
so much better.
My dad takes Celebrex every day. Yeah, Celebrex is an NSAID drug,
mm-hmm.
but it's a COX-2 inhibitor, not COX-1. And it's pretty low side effect for stomach compared to all the other ones. Not an opiate, can't get addicted. And to me, what that story tells me is, hey, this pain is caused from inflammation because the anti-inflammatory helped it.
Right.
And as long as it doesn't give you high blood pressure or bother your stomach, you can take that every day for the rest of his life.
Okay, and that's good to know because sometimes your doctor does have some answers for you that will help you get to fit, strong, light,
strong,
flexible.
Strong, light, flexible, yeah.
Strong, light, flexible. Thank you. And if you take something like Celebrex because everything's hurting and it helps you move a little more or show up for your yoga class, whether it's the free class online or the one you go to the studio for, then it becomes an upward spiral of health. In other words, you're getting better and better, stronger and stronger, and not a downward spiral of decline.
Oh, and it's fun to see that in the office.
When people go up and functioning.
Oh, yeah, and they'll... And, it, you know, oftentimes depends on how much work they have to do, but sometimes it's going to take a year or a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But then they come in and they're off their blood pressure meds. They're off their diabetes meds. It's a party,
yeah.
You know. And you can see that light has returned to their eyes. So
yeah, that vibrancy.
Yes.
When you look at an 80 or 85-year-old or 90-year-old, what you want to see is vibrancy, that they're cognitively with it. They can hear. Or they have gotten help with their hearing.
Yeah, willing.
They
to
have
learn.
Vision, and they've worked on that too, like cataracts, presbyopia, all the things.
Yeah, all those parts of your body work better with blood flow. Everything works better with blood flow. So, yeah, I like to tell everybody about my dad's mom. She had a 100th birthday party back in Minnesota, and we were taking the kids back because I wanted them to meet her, and so we went to. She lived alone. She, you know, shoveled her walk in the winter. She's in northern Minnesota. And she was all excited to see him. She's just a doll. And she's strong, light, and flexible. And so the kids came in and sat on the living room floor. And she came in and sat down, crossed her legs, sat on the floor with them and said, "Let's play cards." And it was just like, it's burned into my memory. And when she got up to get a glass of water, no problem.
She just stood up.
100 years old.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah.
awesome.
So I know it can be done, and, you know, I guess I'm trying to do it myself.
You know, it's a work in progress.
Yes.
And you have to go from where you are. So if you're someone who's sitting on the couch right now listening to this show, and you're 50 pounds overweight or more even, and you're saying, it's too late, I'm done in, start to do it differently.
Yeah, it's
a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
I always tell the kids that I deal with in my therapy practice, how do you eat a hippopotamus? One bite at a time.
Yeah, I like to tell the other story. I have a really fun couple, and they were under a lot of stress the last 20 years of their marriage. They were, you know, when they retired at 65, sold their business, and they were successful. But they were both 40 pounds overweight, both on blood pressure meds, both, you know, neither strong, light, or flexible. And I had them in, they take their physical on the same day together. And the wife said, "Hey, I'm only going to buy healthy food at Trader Joe's. We're going to eat different. We're going to, you know, get some exercise." And off they went. And when they came back the next year, we did not recognize the husband. He had lost 40 pounds. He just was a different person.
Wow.
It was a double take thing. And she weighed 15 pounds more.
So, he lost it and she found it.
Well, what happened was they were both eating the same food, but she was eating too much healthy food.
Right. Probably the same portion size as he was eating.
Yeah. It's
well, you know, what I want to do is a whole show on the lifestyle changes we need to lose weight. And I've done this for years in my practice. I'm specialized in eating disorders, anorexia, bulimia, and compulsive eating. And I've helped people a lot to take a look at what they do and how they can make small changes to create big results over time. And we'll do that in a whole separate show because I think that would be really powerful. So just as a sum up for you guys, we recognize that growing old is not for the faint of heart, and you have to kind of dig deep to create the life that you want as you grow older. So I'd like to thank Dr. Richard Malotki for being my special guest here today. And if you take anything away from this show today, it's the three things that Dr. Malotki tells you.
Yeah, strong, light, and flexible will keep you out of the doctor's office.
And let you grow old gracefully.
Yep.
Well, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and I want to thank you for tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell, where I just want to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.